A legal education means you will learn to speak in a new language. You will be taught to achieve insight into the world around you and to sharply question what you know.
You can't handle the truth!
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete.
Lose? I don't lose. I win. I win. I'm a lawyer. That's my job. That's what I do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Comedians at Law podcast, episode 68. This week we have Matt Ritter and Kevin Israel.
What's going on, Maddie? How you doing?
I am good. We have a pretty busy month of shows coming up. I think they're right around the corner.
Yeah, it's gonna be a busy week.
Yeah, I'm flying to meeting you in Nashville
for Vanderbilt. That's gonna be awesome.
For Vanderbilt Law School, but you have a show the night before that.
Yeah, the night before, Joan, Nadidi, and I are going to be at Crossroads. It's a little bar club place in Garwood, New Jersey. It's 78 North Avenue, Garwood, New Jersey, for an 8 o'clock show. If you go on our Facebook page, we have the event there. You can also contact the Crossroads Bar and Restaurant for tickets, or you can just show up. And it's gonna be a cool little show. It's a good room, seats about, I think, 85 people, and should definitely be a good show. I performed there before, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice. So yeah, if you're in the Jersey area, get tickets for that. And the week after that, we are heading to Arizona to do some shows. We'll be in Phoenix and Tempe. We'll be at Stand Up Live in Phoenix on January 30th at 8 p.m. And on the 29th, we'll be at the Tempe Improv. So you can go on our site or on Stand Up Live's website or the Improv's website and get tickets. I believe we're offering some discounted tickets if you check out our website. So yeah, we got a busy slate. We're hitting the whole country up again. I like that.
Yeah, man. Taking over the country.
Yeah, we're starting the year off right. We're doing a lot of cool stuff with Only in Law School now, too.
Yeah. We've formed a little partnership with Only in Law School, and we're going to be putting up a new website for Only in Law School. So if you're a law student, you're listening to this, definitely go check out the page. There's a section where you can comment on your own Only in Law School experiences. And if you have some funny videos, if your school did a law review or anything and you want us to put it up there, you can email us at info@comediansatlaw.com. Shoot us the links, and you can be part of the Only in Law School movement along with Comedians at Law.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like when 2014 starts off strong with big political, you know, legal topics that are on every news channel. You know, it makes our job easier.
Yes. Yeah.
This one probably hits. Should we jump into the news?
Since when has the paragon of investigative journalism allowed lawyers to determine the news content?
Yeah, let's do the news.
This one probably hits really close to home for you. So why don't I let you set up this first story?
Yeah. Well, unless you're living under a rock, you know that there was this bridge scandal here in New Jersey a couple months ago. Back in September, a number of lanes were closed down heading into the George Washington Bridge, which, if you're not from the East Coast, is the major thoroughfare from New Jersey into New York. And it was four lanes out of Fort Lee, New Jersey, that were closed down to one lane. It was alleged that it was for a traffic study. Recent document requests that led to the revelation that it was actually because of political payback, and Governor Christie is now embroiled in the scandal that he was supposedly involved in closing down the lanes because they were trying to get back the mayor of Fort Lee for not supporting him. He had a big press conference where he said he didn't know anything about it and fired some of his top staffers whose hands were directly dirty in it. And now it's led to a whole big mess, and they're questioning whether or not he can run for president. And it's, you know, it's a big mess here in New Jersey. It's made national news. It was on every news show this morning, and it's probably going to continue for the next few weeks as they continue to try to figure out if Christie was actually involved in it. But the interesting legal aspect is that a lawyer from New Jersey is filing a class action lawsuit against Governor Christie and some of those named in this whole little scandal. And one of the main clients who I actually saw interviewed a few days ago, was stuck on the bridge for over 3 hours, and she said she had a panic attack, and it caused her irreparable harm, and she's suing Christie and his staffers for these damages. The lawyer is Rosemary Arnold. So I think that just brings up an interesting – I mean, this is an interesting story, obviously.
I think it's amazing, first of all, because – I mean, there's so many angles, but from a legal angle, just this class action idea, you know, every time a city shuts down or a town has to shut down for weather or whatever, you know, what have you, legitimate reasons, you always hear them throw out gigantic numbers for how much business they lost. You know, they go, oh, we lost, you know, $10 million. So I could really see, you know, them having some easy evidence to point to for a class action to move forward.
Yeah, well, and they're saying that this affected tens of thousands of people. I don't know. You know, you can blow those numbers up or shrink them down as much as you want, just, you know, by manipulating the fact. But
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I feel like you could. This could have some legs. This suit.
It could. Yeah, it could definitely have some legs. But at the same time, you know, this stuff happens all the time when the president comes into town. When there's some big events in the city, there's always huge grit. And I'm not saying there's makes an excuse for this happening. I'm just saying that I'm not sure that this is really a justifiable actionable situation. And I think this just really lends to the litigiousness of our society. And, you know, I don't think this should be part of this scandal. I think we should figure out what's going on in our government and not figure out how some people who are stuck in traffic for a few hours can make some money off of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to take a piece of action if there's – but I agree. Let's first of all, we should be talking – comedians in law, I think we should talk about it from the top down. Which is this scandal going to sink Chris Christie? I feel like, you know, pun intended, he got his hand caught in the cookie jar here.
I don't think it is. And, you know, a lot of the pundits were saying the same thing today. You know, compared to stuff that's happened at the national level with, you know, with the nonsense in Benghazi and then the NSA whole situation a few months back, this is really, really small beans. And yeah, I think so. I mean, unfortunately, nonsense like this happens all the time in politics.
This is right? I mean, you work in politics. This is business as usual, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to say this is business as usual in New Jersey, but politics is a rough game, and things happen. And you know, I'm going to assume that what Governor Christie's saying is true, and that he actually didn't know about any of this going on, and that there were a couple rogue elements in his staff.
I can't believe that.
I mean, listen, he's a very intelligent man, and he'd be pretty foolish to come out for 2 hours in a press conference and repeat 20 times that he was sorry and that he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody in power who fits – he fits to me the classic profile of the powerful narcissist who thinks he's invincible.
And that's totally possible. And I you know what? It will be very damning if they do – I mean there's you know, 5-10,000 pages more documents.
I mean, you know how many times Roger Clemens and Lance Armstrong denied any wrongdoing in their lives and Spitzer? You know, look, I mean, the weird thing is, right, like, all these people who end up in these situations have a lot of, you know, charismatic and good qualities. And I think in some ways, you know, we lose sight of the fact that part of this is what makes these people excellent candidates to lead, you know, and because they're, you know, a ruthlessness is kind of part and parcel of maybe good leadership.
Right. Oh, absolutely. When I've said, listen, I've worked in this business for a while, and I've always said that it takes a special breed of person to really want to seek public office. It's a very thankless job that the only reward is either helping people and doing the right thing, or you're feeding your ego. Yeah. So you usually fall into one of those two categories. And unfortunately, it's more often the latter than the former. And you could be right that this is a situation of big ego where he's going to stand up and hopefully his bluster covers up for any wrongdoing. But the fact is that there's so many documents out there and there's so much information that if there's anything out there that ties him to this, he's done. He's completely done. And I got to think he's a little smarter than that. So I'm hoping that because he came out and he so vehemently denied it, that it's because he knows there's nothing out there, either because he covered his tracks or because he's telling the truth.
Yeah. You know what else I also like? There was a funny little side take on this that the guy who works for the the Bridges and Tunnels, who he went to high school with, they were trying to link them together.
Well, yeah, Wildstein. And apparently he said that they went to high school together, but he didn't meet him, really actually meet him and interact with him until later on. They tried making it out that they were like childhood friends.
Yeah, and then he was like, I was playing sports in high school. I don't know what he was doing, which was kind of a funny way of being like, oh, he was a loser and I was cool in high school.
And the other interesting legal aspect to that is what this Wildstein, who was one of the heads at the Port Authority, the New Jersey side of the Port Authority, was brought before the New Jersey Assembly Transportation Committee last week, and to answer for all of these emails and text messages that came out and who knew what, he brought his attorney with him, and throughout the entire, I'd say it must have lasted about 45-minute meeting, he just pled the fifth.
Is there anything guiltier looking than pleading the fifth?
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Chappelle sketch. Five.
Yeah, it's, you know, it didn't look good, but at the same time, there really wasn't much else he could do because it's such a messy situation. And I did enjoy watching the chairman of the Transportation Committee here in New Jersey just lose his mind as he got not a single answer.
Yeah.
But what they did accomplish was they got to reread all of the text messages and emails in publicly. And they, you know, you got to really see how nasty and snarky some of those text messages and emails were.
Yeah. You know what I also think is funny is I never really, you know, sort of think about how you can exact punishment on people. And I think shutting down traffic to their town is an interesting one.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, if Christie, assuming at face value that all the accusations were true, and Christie had a problem with the mayor of Fort Lee, I don't know how that was going to accomplish anything outside of just pissing off his, you know, the mayor's and Christie's own constituency.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good strategy. Look, it hasn't shaken out yet. We don't know what's going to happen. At the end of the day, you think this is less than many of the other offenses that top candidates have.
Yeah,
you know, been caught.
Absolutely. And I think he handled the press conference well, and I think he's going to come out of this, you know, maybe a little bruised, but definitely not broken.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree. In the grand scheme of things, Benghazi is worse. And Benghazi, you know, and I consider myself, I suppose, a liberal somewhat. And I hate the way the liberal media gives a pass on what happened there.
Yeah.
So, you know, by the same token, I think, you know, if you're going to give that a pass, then you know, maybe this one gets a pass. And then
right. And I definitely don't think it's tit for tat. You know, I'm not saying that because somebody did something wrong, he should be able to do something wrong. I'm just saying that in the political landscape, I don't see this as being a damning event.
Yeah, but you never know. You know, once the media sinks their teeth into something, it just becomes, you know, an unstoppable force unless they have another story to hang on to.
Right. Well, and trust me, mark my words, if they find any kind of document that tenuously links Christie to all of this and that shows that he might have had some kind of knowledge, that will be truly damning.
What do you picture like Christie doing? And this is just a side note. If he ends up getting like banished from politics, like what do you see him? A high school football coach? Like where do you see that guy?
Yeah, I could definitely see him on the football field just screaming at some kids.
Absolutely.
It'd be interesting to see what he did. You know, I mean, let's be honest. He's a very accomplished attorney, and I'm sure he wouldn't have trouble finding a job.
Yeah, but I'd like to see him as a high school football coach.
Yeah, I would. I'd have my kids go to that school just a
while. Should we move on to the next story?
Yeah, absolutely.
So this story, we're gonna go from serious business to a little bit lighter. I don't know if you know this about Nike sneakers, but they can be dangerous.
You know, I had one of the first pairs of Nike Airs, and I don't remember ever encountering any dangerous situations in them.
Well, apparently, a Portland pimp is suing Nike for not placing a warning label on their shoes specifying that they could be used as a dangerous weapon. And why he is suing them is because he was sentenced to 100 years in prison for brutally beating a John with his sneaker.
Wow.
Yeah, so he basically stomped on the face of a John with his Air Jordans, I believe, which are the best sneaker to stomp on somebody with. When the John refused to pay his prostitute.
So what exactly? What would this warning label look like? What would it say?
I think it would be a little odd too because these are mostly sold to children.
Yeah, yeah.
So I picture
it being like a picture of like a foot coming down on somebody's face with a big like cross going through it.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe it's like not to be worn by pimps.
Not pimp worthy.
Yeah, if you're in a, you know, maybe it should just be like, if you're in a profession where you may have to stomp on people's heads, these shoes are not for you.
And he must have been a really crappy pimp, because I don't picture a pimp wearing Air Jordans. I picture them wearing something much more slick.
I picture alligator, like, shoes.
Yeah, definitely something fancy and maybe over the top. Maybe platform shoes with goldfish floating around in them.
With gold? I like that. I've never seen that in real life, but I like it.
That was in the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
Okay. I knew you were pulling that from somewhere.
Yeah, I can't take credit for that.
Okay, because that would be really nice. But you know, there's a reason behind his complaint. The reason being that the jury called him a dangerous offender and classified his shoes as a dangerous weapon in order to ensure that he had received the maximum sentence. So it is a little tricky.
Huh, that's interesting.
In the sense that he has a legitimate reason for filing this complaint, because they kind of, I mean, I think that's a bit of a miscarriage of justice.
Yeah, definitely. I don't, you know, clearly this guy deserves to be punished, but I can't imagine they couldn't have found some other way to put him away for a while outside of calling a sneaker a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, because if you're going to call a Nike Air Jordan, which is made out of rubber, a dangerous weapon, then you could basically just say, if I beat you senseless, like with a rubber chicken, you could argue that rubber chicken is a dangerous weapon.
Right, exactly. Or if, you know, even if you were in a, you know, a drunken bar fight and you accidentally kicked the guy, you could say it was assault with a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, I don't like that because, you know, you're literally opening up the realm of dangerous weapons to any, like you said, anytime somebody gets in a fight and they're, you know, what if somebody, grabbed a newspaper and started beating somebody with it, wrapped it up and, you know, ended up right, bloodying and battering them, or a towel, or I don't know, you know, whatever. Something that in and of itself isn't considered a dangerous weapon.
Exactly. So, I think this is definitely setting a bad precedent, but I'll tell you what is a dangerous weapon. A 9-inch stiletto heel, that's a dangerous weapon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if a prostitute wants to stab a John through the throat with a stiletto heel, that's potentially a dangerous weapon. I agree with you.
I'd be on board for that.
But the trick here is that because they classified it as a dangerous weapon, it kind of, you know, gives somewhat of a baseline merit to him filing a complaint, at least. You know, I mean, you couldn't file a complaint saying that Nikes are a dangerous weapon and you should have warned us if they weren't classified as such.
Yeah, I agree. But I think his claim loses some of that merit when you see that he's asking for $100 million.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, his suit is frivolous, but I think what his suit could end up doing is shedding light on his appeal. Because, you know, I mean, there's an interesting strategy here, right? Because you file this suit, and then in open court, you know, you might have a ruling saying that the shoes are not a dangerous weapon.
Right.
And therefore, you then take that ruling and you go on appeal and say, hey, look, you know, these are clearly not a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, I definitely think I could see this getting
done. I don't know. You know, maybe that was an interesting strategy by his lawyers.
Yeah, well, it was a strange tactic by the jury and, you know, whoever put together the jury instructions. And it's, you know, it's definitely, he's got a good attorney.
So I don't know if we have any pimps listening, but Adidas is the moral of the day.
Yeah, definitely go with Adidas or Reebok, maybe even New Balance.
Skechers are pretty soft. I don't think you can hurt anybody with some Skechers.
Yeah, and they have all those different kind of sneakers. Skechers has all those different sneakers that work you out while you're walking, so.
So yeah, you could be a pimp who's getting in good shape and not ending up with a maximum sentence that you beat.
Right, not ending up to.
I incidentally have been hit with a shoe before.
Have you?
My mother threw one at me once as a kid.
Oh.
Yeah, and if I had known that they were going to classify it as a dangerous weapon, I might have threatened her.
You could have put her in prison for 100 years.
Yeah. I didn't know that at the time, but I, you know, we get along.
George Bush was attacked with a
shoe. That's right. We laugh about it now. Yeah, my mom disrespected me. my mom gave me the highest form of disrespect.
My mom never threw a shoe. I did get hit with a belt, and I definitely think a belt is more deadly than a shoe.
The buckle side, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think I ever got the buckle, though. But
I have an immigrant father, so, you know. He doesn't really know the rules. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's a gray area.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's not really paying attention to the judicial code.
Right. I got you.
Yeah, he's got his own code. Anyway, so that's I think that wraps up that story. Let's transition from that one into another kind of silly legal story.
All right.
You wanna set this one up?
Yeah, this is possibly more ridiculous than this.
I know. I don't know how we can go over the top on pimp meeting somebody with a dangerous shoe.
Yeah. And you know, for our listeners, we try to keep this, you know, semi informational, but this is just too good. A 33-year-old Oklahoma man has been killing his stepfather that caused the victim to suffocate on his own underwear.
Do you want to explain to our, you know, maybe our reader, maybe our listeners don't all know what an atomic wedgie is.
You know, what's a funny thing? You found this story, and I actually didn't need to read the description to know what an atomic wedgie is.
Some because people
I
think don't
I might know. Have given. I might have given somebody an atomic wedgie. An atomic wedgie, now a typical wedgie is just when you grab the back of somebody's underwear and pull it up, causing them, you know, discomfort and possibly pain, and oftentimes sometimes ripping the underwear. An atomic wedgie, and this almost seems impossible to me, is actually when you pull the underwear up so far, you wrap it over the victim's head in a cartoon type cornpolio manner.
I mean, it's an incredible move. You know, whoever created the atomic wedgie was a real sadist.
They were an innovator. I really think they should be given some kudos for just coming up with the idea and going through with it.
You know, why do they? I always wondered why they call it an atomic wedgie.
Because it's, you know, I mean, you know, it's like the atomic bomb. It's the big one. It's the final move.
Yeah, it is the big. I mean, you know, I also thought maybe because you blow up the person's entire genitalia,
there's nothing left. It's just a wasteland.
Yeah, I mean, when you pull that all the way over the head, there's, you know, it really stuffs your entire package up into, you know, I don't know where.
I also, you know, so he suffocated on his own underwear.
Now, I don't really understand how that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's breathable.
I think he just choked him to death. You know, I think he must have stuffed it in his mouth. He was trying to kill him.
Yeah. That has to be one of the most bizarre ways to commit murder.
Yeah. You know what I think to myself? You ever play that game like, oh, what's the worst way to die?
Yeah.
This is now on my list.
Yeah, well, you got to think. That's basically, you're being killed with your balls in your nose.
Yeah. And the smell of your own crap.
Yeah, like that. I mean, I really hope this 58-year-old gentleman was wearing clean underwear. I mean, you know, they always joke around saying, you know, you should always put on clean underwear in case you get hit by a car and die.
You really should put it on because somebody might atomic wedgie.
Yeah, you might get an atomic wedgie, and you don't want to smell your own brand as you drift off into the forever after.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me, I need to do a laundry.
You have some people out there that would probably give you an atomic wedgie.
You know, I don't know. There's people who would consider trying to kill me through atomic wedgie if they read this story.
My concern about this is, remember there was that, and it was I just recently going on where those kids were running up to people and punching them in the face, knocking them out.
Oh, this is the new thing. You think this is the new knockout game?
Yeah, maybe this is going to be the new knockout game. This is going to be the atomic wedgie game. You just run up behind somebody and pull their underwear over their face.
Yeah. Oh man, I really hope not, because they were doing that. They were doing that to older women too.
Pulling their Depends over their face.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I don't. You know, it would be less painful if you're wearing Depends and somebody ripped it, because they would just rip apart.
That's true. That's a good point.
That's what makes the atomic wedgie so bad, is the elasticity of underwear.
Right, and you always picture it being tidy whiteys too.
Yeah. I don't think there are that many people even wearing tidy whiteys anymore.
No, but I don't know. I could picture this 58-year-old.
By the way, he insulted his own wife.
Does it still warrant an atomic wedgie?
No, I just think it's funny that this son was defending his mother, who's this guy's wife.
I mean, this whole story has a lot of problems with it.
Yeah. It makes me think, I don't know, it makes me think the son and his mother had some sort of weird relationship.
But just what a wow. So you're saying there's a whole nother level to this?
Potentially. I mean, if you're going to atomic wedgie your stepfather to death over it, I don't know.
Well, the medical examiner said that the cause of death was asphyxiation and blunt force trauma. So I wonder what the blunt force trauma in this was.
His balls hit him squarely in the throat.
You know, all those jokes about, you know, three people meet before at St. Peter's Gate and they start talking about how they died. This guy definitely gets the worst one.
Yeah, he does. You know, this does remind me of that painful time in your childhood where everybody's trying to do this stuff to each other. Atomic wedgies are very painful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Atomic wedgies are bad.
I don't think girls know this because girls don't do this to each other.
No, girls have a little more civility.
Yeah.
Anyway,
send that guy flowers.
Yeah. And you know what? If you've ever given anybody, if you've ever been a giver or a recipient of an atomic wedgie, tweet at us and let us know what went on. With the hashtag CalPod.
I picture our Twitter page this week. It's going to be very highbrow legal stuff.
This, you know what, though? All of these crazy stories always make me think of the ridiculous hypotheticals that students would come up with in class.
Yeah.
Like, this sounds like one of, like, something. Well, what if a guy gave somebody an atomic wedgie?
Right. Is that aggravated assault? Is that assault with a deadly weapon, huh?
Oh, that's a good question.
If a sneaker is a deadly weapon, then I think, Fruit of the Looms definitely qualifies.
I was going to say, Fruit of the Looms men's briefs, are they now deadly weapons?
I don't know. We're bringing that to our listeners.
That's going to be our question now for every ridiculous assault case.
Yeah, are Fruit of the Looms a deadly weapon? On that note, shall we move on to our Twitter page?
Yes, I definitely think we should.
We have had a pretty active week, as usual, gaining some new followers. I'll give them a quick shout-out. AJH Ladd, Brian Clark Legal, Ephraim Jacob Fink, Timmy Leah, Jacob Bergeron, Robin Hill, and we got a couple more here. Candice Mowry Pullen, Jason Harp, Rar, Karen York. We got somebody named Rar. I like that.
Sounds very aggressive.
Oh, and also we've had some communications. Let's see, Ben. Oh, we had a lot of followers. Ben Landis, Mauricio Queller, Ali Spagnola, Rachel Fisher, Joynette, and Allison Boyce. One other thing that we've had, I've had communications with Sonny Hostin from CNN.
I know, this was exciting. I was really juiced to see this.
Yeah, I was excited that she responded, and some other people chimed in to say that she's beautiful, which she is. She said she's not funny. I'm, you know, Sonny, we got the funny covered. I told her.
Yeah,
that.
We'll carry the funny.
So she's checking in with the CNN powers that be. So hopefully they will let her join the podcast. That would be really exciting. You know, she's always covering the top legal stories of the day. I'm sure she would have something to say about the Christie case.
Yeah, and definitely, and you know, thanks to Kathy Thomas and Rataskal for helping pushing this along. You know, it's nice that there are some people out there that want to see guests on our show.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, hit us up and let us know who else you want us to have on as a guest on the podcast. We're working on getting you some really great guests in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, and your support with that will definitely help those guests, you know, come on, because they want to know that there's somebody out there that wants to see this happen.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, tweet at them. Tweet at Sonny. Tell her you want her on the Comedians at Law podcast.
Yeah, tweet at them. Always include us, you know, at Comedians at Law. And we're gonna keep bringing you great content. So, you know, it's not all going to be atomic wedgies and Nike pimps.
I mean, we could only be so lucky. all right, well, I guess that wraps it up for episode 68 of the
68
Comedians.
Is in the bag.
In the bag. So, you know, get out there and hit up some shows in Jersey, Tennessee, and Arizona this month. And we will probably do a live podcast from maybe we'll do – actually, no, let's do that. Let's commit now, Kevin. Let's do a live podcast from Vanderbilt next weekend.
We're going to do a live podcast? I like it.
Yeah. So we will be online from Vanderbilt Law School next weekend doing our podcast. And so thank you guys for listening.
Awesome. Take care, Matt.
All right.